We've been talking about mothers, and every Mother's Day, you know, there are some sort of specific, there are some specific examples in Scripture that we tend to focus on. And I think this morning is one I don't think that I've preached on. But let me just say at the outset that I understand maybe more, you know, the old saying, you know, you too soon old, too late smart. You start to realize that Mother's Day is not always a happy day for everybody. It's not a happy day for every mother, and it's not a happy day for women who wish they were or for whatever reason cannot be a mother. And so we need to be sensitive to that, and I hope that we are, because we understand that there's pain associated with this day as well. So this morning, what we're going to do is talk about somebody, just briefly, somebody who knew full well pain as a mother, but someone who was chosen to be a very special mother. And so, we'll pick it up when she was chosen in Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, the town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. "The angels must get tired of saying this. Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. He will be great. He will sit on the throne of his father David," and so on. And at the end of that, Mary says this, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. We are, and I say we, I mean generally speaking, Protestants are a little bit shy about talking about Mary. In what we see as extreme or excess or error in how she is treated by others, we do, you know, how there's, I've said this so many times, there's a road that each road has two ditches, right? And so you got a better chance of being a ditch, being in a ditch, than being on the road. And what we see is that we often overreact to something. So we see excess on one end, we go to the other end. And so we shy away from Mary. We don't really focus on her as being special in any way. You know, just random young Jewish girl that God picked. And yet we do some of the other thing. We almost idolize other things. I mean, everybody is guilty of this. We all fall for this. But sometimes we could be accused of maybe idolizing the Apostle Paul. You know, we almost think he's sinless and infallible, like how some would call Mary. Some of us idolize the Bible. We idolize certain things, right? And so to our detriment, we have not really spent much time, and so that's why I don't recall, but I mean, my memory could be weak, over 30 years, that I don't recall preaching on Mary, the mother of Jesus, on Mother's Day. But let's just think about it for a minute. Being a mother is a high calling. But when you've been chosen, and Mary was chosen to be the mother of Jesus, everybody say, "Whoa, that's heavy. That's a serious calling." And Mary is chosen by God to be the mother of the Savior of the world. Now, could God have done it another way? This is what hit me as I was looking through this, reading through it this week, thinking about it, is that, you know, God, you could have done this any other way. But you chose to plant the very seed of God. You chose to put yourself into the womb of a young woman, a young teenager likely, virgin, unmarried, Jewish girl. The Savior of the world could have come in any other way. I think we'd have been okay with that, no? You know, how did Superman come? You know, some sort of spaceship landed in Kansas, adopted by a family. I mean, that would have worked, right? But God chose through a mother to give us the Savior of the world. And He chose Mary. We can honor her because she was chosen by God to be the mother that would carry in her womb the Savior of the world. We talk about the commandment to honor your father and your mother. The Bible says that's even a commandment with a promise that it may go well with you. I think that's sort of redundant. You know what I mean? If you just think about it. Honor your father and your mother so that it may go well with you. What happens if you dishonor your father and your mother? The opposite would be true. It's not going to go that well for you. I mean, who hasn't learned that, right? But we forget it, right? So we're supposed to honor our father and our mother. Why? How? For what? That's why it was something I was asking you to find a specific reason. Well, this morning we'll hopefully find some specific reasons to honor our mothers. And when we look at Mary, who was chosen by God to be the one who would mother from immaculate conception through His growing up years, the very Savior of the world, tells me this, that God still specifically chooses you mothers for the families you've been given. I hope that's good news. But you have been chosen to be the mother of the very children that you have. It's not some random accident. Some days you might think so. Some days you might look for that return to sender stamp to put on your kids. Sometimes you think, we got to do that DNA test. This can't be mine. But you have been chosen by God to be the mother of those children. As those children, we can honor you for that. So the reverse is true. I say to mothers, you've been chosen for those kids. I say to all of us that we have been chosen. You know, who didn't wish? Well, I shouldn't ask this. But there are some who may have wished growing up that they had different mothers, you know? Well, I wish my mother was younger. Wish my mother was more cool. Slim. Whatever. I don't know what we would have wished for our mothers to be. And we forget this, that we have been placed into that family by the divine providential act of God. That at this time and in this place, to this family, we have been born. We honor mothers because they're chosen by God for that role. I find it also interesting that God chose a mother apart from any involvement of a man to be the vehicle through which He would come to the world, right? And so there's all kinds of speculation and we're famous for this. You know, on Mother's Day, we pump up the women, and on Father's Day, we beat down the men. So we'll just get ahead of the game. And so a little boy is asking his mom, where do babies come from? Like, how did we get here? And so mom says, well, God created everything, and then out of the dust of the earth, He breathed into that creation the breath of life, and that was Adam, and now from him, God has made us all. Okay. And he went and asked his dad, who was in the living room. He said, Dad, where do we come from? And dad said, well, you know, a little cell grew, and it became a fish and a bird, and then it, you know, fell out of a tree, and it became a monkey, and then out of those monkeys, we all came. Something like that. And so the little boy goes back to his mom in the kitchen and says, I'm confused. So you told me that God made us all, but Dad just said we all came from monkeys. What's the deal? She said, simple, son, simple. I was talking about my side of the family. He was talking about his. We are chosen and placed in the families that we are by a very act of God. And mothers, you are chosen by God for the role that you have. Mary is chosen. Mary's also very courageous. You notice what she says at the end? She said, I am your servant. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Do you remember what happened in Luke chapter 2? After Jesus was born, when she went into the temple with him on the eighth day for that act of dedication, that Simeon had a prophetic utterance. And he said, my eyes have seen your salvation, Lord. I can now rest in peace. I can now go because you've shown me that I would be alive until your Messiah has come. And now, as I see this baby, I see that this is the Messiah. It was only through divine revelation. But then it says he turned to Mary and he said, and to you, Mary, a sword will pierce your own soul. The baby is 8 days old and Mary is told that there is pain coming. That there's a sword that will pierce, will crush her own soul. Mary's very courageous. She doesn't say, okay, well, I take it all back. Not going through with this. Can't follow through. This is a major inconvenience to me. Look what I've given up to be a mother. Look what I've had to give up to take on this assignment. She doesn't do that. She's very, very courageous. She's not backing down. She doesn't say, what did I get into? How can I get out of it? But through great courage and self-sacrifice, which I think are common to mothers, Mary says, I'm going through with this. Mothers experience pain in a different way than fathers do. Mothers that have shed tears over their children, courageous, caring mothers that have experienced in some degree what Mary experienced, watching her own son suffer and die. You know, there's no greater strain or stress on the human soul and body than the death of a child. And it doesn't matter how old that child is, that child is still the child of the mother if that mother is still alive. And there's just nothing like that. And I know there are many in this room who have had that experience, and I think that you would agree with me that mothers experience that differently than fathers. And Mary is courageous. She is going to go through with this. And we see that she does. But we honor mothers because of the pain that they have felt, because of the tears that they have shed, because of the sacrifice that they have shown. One of the things, and I think it was evident this morning, that we heard is that mothers will put others ahead of themselves. They will sacrifice their desire. They will give up their dreams for the sake of their children and their family so that they will experience their dream. Isn't that true? And so we honor you mothers because we know of the sacrifices that you have made. The things that you have given up for others. Some of them, you shouldn't have had to, maybe, you know? I don't know, this is a weird story, but it just hit my brain, so I'll share it with you. But years ago, it was a thing, and maybe it's still a thing. People would go around and they'd do cooking demonstrations, and then you invite a bunch of people into your house, and you have a good meal that's made with all these pots, and then you get the sales pitch, you know, for just $2,000, you know? You can buy all these pots and then equal payments after that, probably. I don't know. But one of the stories, and this is because it was in a farming situation. We had all these people gathered around in our little kitchen. And the guy that's selling the pots says, well, I just want to tell you a story. After 39 years, let's call her Mary, of marriage. Mary comes down the stairs and she's going to cook oatmeal for her husband, John. And she pulls this pot out that the handle's broken off, and she picks it up, and she's had that pot for all 39 years of their marriage, and she puts it on the oven, and she puts the oatmeal in, and then she goes and she's going to make coffee in this old perk that they've had. It's dented and it's wore out, and as she's just getting the coffee grounds poured in, she looks out the window and she sees something, a glint of a nice new John Deere tractor that she didn't know John had bought. Sorry, John. And she, all of a sudden it hits her, why am I cooking with a broken pot when my husband gets a brand new John Deere tractor? You see the sacrifice that you have made for the common good? Eh? Now that's one you shouldn't have to make, and I don't... Anyways, there was a lot of pots sold that night. And they are good. We're still using them, by the way. sacrifices that some have given up for others, that mothers have given up for their families. But the ultimate sacrifice that Mary gave when she watched her son die, it tells us that she was consistent. She was not perfect. I was thinking about this, and I think it was Michael Jr. or somebody does a little skit on this one. But you imagine being Mary. You know, you're sort of entrusted with the Son of God. And he's 12 years old. You go on a trip to Jerusalem, and you lose him for 3 days. It's like, you lost the Son of God for 3 days? You might want to take better care there. You see that? So she's not perfect. When they came to her at a wedding and said, you know, we're out of wine, and, you know, maybe you could tell Jesus to do something. I mean, he hadn't done a miracle yet. And so she went to him and said, you know, they're out of wine. Could you do something? And so he did a miracle. Like, she has influence over her son. There's no question about that. But what we see is that she's right consistent to the end. There was even a time when she may have thought that Jesus was losing it, because she kept hearing reports that of what was going on. And so she went from Nazareth over to Capernaum. It says there that the whole family came to get him, to take him home, because the word was that he had lost his mind. And so Mary certainly wasn't perfect. She certainly wasn't sinless. But she was consistently there, even at the end. Because near, John chapter 19 says, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Lots of Marys, at least in the Greek translation of it. And when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, woman, I love one translation, it says, dear woman, here is your son. And then to the disciple, here is your mother. And from that time on, this disciple, John, speaking about himself, says, took her into his home. The heartbreak and the tears. I can't imagine what Mary saw, but she didn't leave. When everyone else left, she was there. When everyone else ran out, Mary stayed, and she watched. What was happening? A sword was piercing her own soul. I'm sure she remembered Simeon's words. This is it. This is it, God. He was right. And Mary stood at the foot of the cross and watched her son die. A torturous, hideous death. Heartbreak and tears is something that mothers know all too well. And we honor you for that. For the tears that you've shed and the heartbreak that you've known. And many of us know that we've been the cause of that. Many of us, all of us probably, can look back with some guilt and say, you know what, We cause some heartache for our parents. We cause some heartbreak for our mothers. And we wish we hadn't have done that. We just want to say to you, we honor you for that. And if we have the opportunity, if our mothers are still here, then it would be good for us to express that, wouldn't it? So we're just going to pray right now. We're going to close it with prayer. I just want to say thank you to all of the guys and girls who helped in the kitchen this morning. It was amazing for me to just watch how everybody works so well. Some of you ladies are either really good trainers, or you're really blessed with some really good, helpful hands in the kitchen, or you know nothing about it, and they've been bluffing. But I can tell you, they did well in the kitchen this morning, and I think they did a great job. It was fun working with them in the kitchen, so thank you. There may still be some cleanup. If you feel like you missed out, then you can come help us with some cleanup before you go. But we're going to pray for mothers. And so, if you're beside your mother, you might want to put your hand on her shoulder or put your arm around her. You got someone that you can honor and bless, somebody who is a mother to you. This morning, actually, one of our spiritual mothers is over in Dauphin speaking at New Life Center. Florence Ellis is over there speaking this morning. So we're grateful to have some people that we can send out like that. Well, Lord, we're blessed. We're humbled by how much you have blessed us. Right now, this morning, Lord, we know that there's pain and heartache. There's some stories that we don't understand of how mothers have been hurt in such a way that they have been unable to pass on that legacy of faith and hope that we read about in Scripture, that Proverbs tells us about, that many of us have heard about, but some of us have not seen in our own lives. And we thank you that your love makes up for every lack that there is in human love. We're also grateful, Lord, for the human love that has been given to us by those who have been our mothers, those who are here, those who are departed. We have a rich heritage, God, to thank you for. I would just pray today that honor and love would be shared and expressed from genuine, humble hearts to mothers for the task that they have, the assignment that is theirs, that is such a high calling, but at such a great cost. I pray that we would do all that we could to empower and strengthen those who have that assignment and task, young and old. And that ultimately, God, that what they have shown us is to turn us to you, so that our prayer would be now in closing, that ultimately we would be thinking of you and thankful to you for how you've chosen us, put us into families, put us in a place where we could know about you, where we could see it lived out, where we could hear it, where we could follow it. For all of this, Lord, we're extremely grateful, and we give our thanks and our praise to you. In Jesus' name, amen.